Well, good evening, and welcome back tonight for our evening service here at Harvest Baptist Church. Look forward to our service tonight. Look at, I'm in my mind, I'm like this. You know why? You know why? We're talking about the rapture tonight. Ready to go, ready to go. We're glad you're here tonight. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll have our first congregational song tonight. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings of joy it is to serve you, and thank you for the good service we had this morning and the visitors. Well, Father, we pray we'll be able to see some more of them here soon this week or next service. May have an opportunity to minister to them more as they seek a church home. Father, we thank you so much for the baptismal service that we had this morning, as well as anticipation tonight as we continue with our study. Do you really know what you believe about as we talk about the rapture tonight? Pray that you meet with us. Help us to prepare our hearts and minds, Lord, through the singing and congregational singing tonight for the study. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we are so thankful for this wonderful day you gave us, Father. What a day of rejoicing, Father, in our church here in Goodyear, Father, having many visitors that fell under the hearing of your word this morning, Father, for the baptism that we just are so joyful for, that young lady that is taking a step in obedience, Father, for her faith, and what a joy it is, Father. What a day we've had in your house. And Father, we thank you now that we can take up another offering tonight, Father, for the furtherance of your gospel throughout the world, Father, through the missionaries that we support and through this church ministries. And Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor we have of doing so, to give back a portion of what you've given to us. Bless the gift and the giver, Father, tonight, and we give you thanks for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
When
Thank you, Miss Nancy. And you know, in spite of her, some of her health things she's fighting and the vertigo and other things, she still makes her way up and to serve and just to share with us. I greatly appreciate that. If you have your Bibles tonight and your handouts, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In just a moment, we'll read verses 51 through 57 and we'll begin the first part to this X section about the rapture. Do you really know what you believe about the rapture? We have spent about, I think, about 40, 42 weeks, maybe a little bit longer on this topic of do you really know what you believe about? And then, of course, we've covered different doctrines. And tonight we'll talk a little bit about the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll begin reading in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. A good theme verse for the nursery, huh? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight, and as we go through tonight in time of study, and Lord willing, a time of encouragement and excitement for us who believe and put our faith and trust in Christ. Thank you so much for the word of God, for his clarity and understanding, and Lord, that we can see and read and know what is coming. Lord, we may not know when, but we know it's coming. And Father, I just pray that you bless us tonight, help us to glean from the scriptures, help that we might be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. When believers talk about the rapture, what do they really understand what it means? And I guess there's some other beliefs in reference to the return of Christ, but we'll look at this position we believe the Bible teaches tonight. But it is something that either encourages you when you talk about the rapture in your walk with the Lord, or is it something that discourages you because you don't really understand everything that it entails? The simple answer is this: the rapture is the catching away of believers to be with Christ. The catching away of believers to be with Christ. But again, what does that mean and what does it involve? Number one tonight, the rapture will occur in the Lord's time, as we saw in verse 51 and verse 52. So a question for this section that we hope to answer: what are some of the ideas you have heard concerning the timing of the Lord's return and the rapture? And of course, you hear many beliefs and many sections through the years. We've heard people try to give dates and places and even get groups together, but that's not what the Bible says. So let's look what the Bible says tonight. The rapture will occur in the Lord's time. Letter A, we do not know when it will occur. Pretty easy, cut and dry. We do not know when. I believe there are indicators of the Lord's return relative to the tribulation period. But at the same time, I do not believe there is anything standing in the way of the Lord in his return for his saints even now. If you look at our passage of Scripture, the twinkling of an eye means just that. As fast as you can blink your eye, when the rapture does take place, it'll already be over. That quick, that fast. In theological terms, we call this truth the imminent return of Christ. It will happen in a moment, and it could happen at any moment. Amen. No more worries about this old world below. Looking forward to that time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So letter B, not only we look at we do not know when it will happen, but letter B, we do know that it will happen. We know that it will happen according to scriptures. Again, back in verse 52, note Paul's double message, or excuse me, usage of the word shall. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. And I've got my wrong verse. Yes. in the moment of twinkling, we shall be changed, raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. So we see the variant used, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Here the word shall means a whole lot more than just will, more than the definite. It can be used to express command or exhortation. You shall go. And we see this definition here from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. But it is also used in laws, regulations, or directives to express what is mandatory. So we know that it will take place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, then with which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that are in clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the point is very, very simple, but also very definite. The Lord's return for his saints at the rapture will take place. It has to, but in the Lord's timing. I don't know how many times through the years, I'm only 62, I don't know how many times through the years I've read about or heard about people trying to put dates or to put a time or something on that, but we do not know when that will take place. Number two, the rapture will involve the Lord's people. It will involve the Lord's people. Not only the rapture will occur in the Lord's time, but it will involve his people. In our text in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And again, as we continue with our study, I want to remind you, this is not an in-depth study, but more of a survey and topics we studied to encourage you to dig and to get into Scripture and to read your Bible. So here's our question for this small section. Have you ever heard of universalism? And this term is used in a belief that all people are saved regardless of the relationship with the Lord. So with that in mind, what do you see as some of the major problems with that kind of teaching? Obviously, it's against Scripture. It's not just for anyone and everyone. Relative to the rapture, universalism will not work, and here's some biblical reasons why. Letter A, only the saved will participate. Only the saved will participate. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In these verses, to sleep in Jesus is the same as being dead in Christ. The key is being in the Lord. And the only way to be in the Lord is by knowing the Lord. Before we go on, I'm going to share a mean example or a testimony. Again, when the trump of God shall sound. When you're in Bible college, sometimes there's guys that have to work all night long. They get up, they work through the night, they get off at 6, 7 o'clock, they're going to shower and clean up, and they're coming right to class. And some guys, it can be really rough because they've got Greek class at 7 o'clock in the morning, then they go to their next class and they have chapel at 11, sometimes another class, and they're done for the day. But some of the guys, and some that have a family, and some that are working their way through, they operate sometimes on very little sleep. And we had just went over some basic doctrines in one of our classes in theology, and they talked about the trump of God. And one of the guys in class who was wiped out and scared to death fell asleep. And all the rest of us got up and went out in the hallway. And somebody happened to have a horn. And the horn was blown, and we quietly closed the door, and that young man opened the door, and no teacher, no students, he was there all by himself. Now, praise the Lord that he was secure in his salvation. He knew we were playing a joke on him, but to see the look on his face for just that twinkle of a moment was priceless. But yes, it will be that fast, it will be that quick when the Lord comes for his children. Again, the key is being in the Lord, and the only way to be in the Lord is by knowing the Lord. And that is true for the dead, but what about the living? The same thing is true. The key is being in Jesus Christ. Relative to the rapture, this means that those who are not in Jesus are not saved and will not be going. Makes no difference. Here's a quote from Warren Wiersbe. I've got two tonight. Whether we Christians live or die, we have nothing to fear because Jesus will come either with us or for us. The fact of his return is a comfort to our hearts. And it should be a comfort knowing. And I'll be honest with you, I've had some days over the last few years, and even more so since the grandchildren came along, that I'm ready to come quickly, Lord Jesus, with the world that we live in today. But when that time comes, I'm ready and continue to pray for those that I know that are ready and those that are not ready yet. Some young children have not come to the age of accountability in our family, but we are praying for them. Only the saved will practice, letter B, all of the saved will be changed. All of the saved will be changed. In our mortal bodies, we are not fit for heaven. So all of us are going to undergo a radical transformation. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53 through 54 of our text. I'll read that again. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, our corruptible bodies are made for the grave, but our incorruptible bodies are made for eternity. All of the saved will be changed. Let us see, each of the saved will be like Christ. Here's an interesting question. Each of the saved will be like Christ. Biblically, are there any limitations to how much we'll be like Christ? I know we've had some questions go along with some of our studies and prompted us to think about heaven and who we might would like to meet and talk to, ask questions. We've had a lot of those thoughts, and I'll throw this out to you as well. Biblically, are there any limitations to how we will be like Christ? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, every time I read that passage of Scripture, who shall change our vile body. When I was in Bible college, we had a professor called Dr. Vile. And every once in a while, some smart aleck freshman or someone would always ask the teacher, Brother, Professor Vile, will your name be changed when you go to heaven? Every time I study, so many things I study, I get so tickled as I'm reminded of some of the questions, some things that took place in my Bible college day. And I'm on a roll. I'm going to go ahead and bring this up as well. We are having a baptism. It's got nothing to do with the lesson, absolutely nothing to do with this. But I think I mentioned before we had mock practices to help Bible college students, because you never do a funeral until you do a funeral. You never do a wedding. You never do any of these things until you do it for the first time. You never do a baptism until you do it for the first time. And made me think of this is before the service, Brother Leonard, when we got ready for baptismal services, he reminded me which ordinance of the local church we were doing. It was baptism, and here's why. We had a mock baptism in class, and a couple jokers in the class, and one is known to be a joker, let me tell you. His name was Dean McNeese, and surprisingly today he's in evangelism, and he is a tremendous evangelist. I never would have thought it going to school. He was such a cut-up that he'd be so serious. But he had snuck a hose in with the other fellow and partnered up with him with the baptistry. And so when they got ready to baptize, the guy had the hose by his leg and his thumb underwent the hose, and they had the other end taped to the side. And at that particular day, the pastor was actually teaching this session of a class that we had. You had to take two semesters. It was called professional training. And then went through anything that you might would face in ministry that you never learn in Bible college. And so they got ready to baptize, and Dean had his friend up there, and he sent him up, and he says, upon the profession of your faith, my brother, I baptize you. And he put him down, and then he froze. And of course, it was no big deal, because that guy had a hose in his mouth. He was breathing. And he was sitting there holding him under and just sitting there, and he just kind of froze. And the pastor said, boys, what are you doing? He said, Pastor, I can't remember. Is it drinky all of it, or is it I baptize you? And the pastor says, my soul, let that boy out of the water. But all along, they had that hose under the water, and he was fine and dandy. But I thought I ought to say this. Ministry should be fun. And there's things that we can't cut up with. There's a time to be serious. And sometimes we remember things, and Brother Leonard jogged my memory when he made a comment when I changed and came back in for address. Again, it had nothing to do with the study tonight, but I just thought it was humorous and I would share with it. And we'll learn and we'll see things, we'll experience things, we'll learn things about one another. Bloopers will take place in ministry, and we'll laugh about it at future dates. But that day, to this day, I can't remember the other young man's name, but I can remember very vividly. And here's why, and I'll go one more and then we'll go on. This is why our pastor wanted to have this class when he started the Bible college. Every pastor-to-be studying for ministry had to take two semesters, and they covered absolutely everything he could think of that you would not learn in Bible college. And here's why he did it. He said the very first church that he ever pastored, he had to do a funeral. And he didn't know the person very well. He was new to the church. He was very young. He was so nervous and so tied to his notes. When they got to the graveside, he was so nervous and, again, tied to his notes that he stepped too far and fell off in the grave when he was getting ready to do the funeral. And he's a tall man. Of course, he got out real quick. He was young back then. He was about 6'2", 6'4". But he said later, when I decided to start a Bible college, I didn't want any young preacher to go through and fall off in a grave or having to do something for the first time and not know what to do or what sure how to do it. And so, again, had nothing to do with the notes. I just thought I'd share it with you tonight. But again, I think ministry should be joyous. It should be joyful. We should have a good time. And I don't know about you, but I'm happy and excited for the return of our Savior. The rapture will occur in the Lord's time. The rapture will involve the Lord's people. And number three, the rapture will happen the Lord's way. Behold, I show you a mystery in verse 51 and 52. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There are a lot of things that we could say about the event we call the rapture, but three things really jump for Scripture. Letter A, it will be in person. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It will be him, it will be his body, and it will be when he says it will be. Amen. It will be in person. Then letter B, it will be in the clouds. Not like the Philadelphia cream cheese commercial at all. It will be in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It will be in person, it will be in the clouds, and let her see, it will be in an instant, in an instant. Again, we read the text earlier that we started with, but also in Luke 12 and verse 40. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. What was the name of that movie that came back out years ago that showed the depiction of the return of Christ and the cars wrecking on the highway and the gentleman? The Thief in the Night? Left Behind, The Thief in the Night. I think I'm thinking about The Thief in the Night going back several years. And with the mom in there fixing breakfast, and the husband's in there with his electric razors on the counter stir running because he's gone. Have you ever thought about that? Just one of the questions, and we'll go on. Thought about what it might be like in the chaos here on earth when the rapture takes place. I'm so glad I won't be here. I'm so glad that I know that I won't be here. And I'm so glad the chaos that's going on now will be even worse, but I won't be here to witness it. But I sure do pray for those that I'm concerned that will be left behind. It will be in an instant. Death is a fact of life. The only way we can escape death is to be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Warren Wiersbe. Death is not an accident. It's an appointment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, is appointed in a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It will take place. I hope this tonight has been a little bit of an encouragement to you and challenge you in reference to the rapture. So good to be reminded and to get into Scripture and to study our Bibles and knowing, you know, a good time when we get discouraged and we see how horrible this world is, we're reminded of it. It's a good thing just to begin thinking and pondering about the rapture, knowing that He will return one day, and it could be at any moment. All right, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll go in just again for just a short business meeting to present to some of the new officers for the year as we've had some rotations. Lord, again, we do love you so much, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessing and joy of service and fellowship. And thank you, Lord, that we can know, according to Scripture, that one day you are coming back for your children. Thank you so much for the Word of God and what it has for us. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the Word and not just take this time of the survey that we've had tonight, but to dig a little deeper, to take some more time to study, and maybe even take some time to share it with someone else as we have opportunity. What an awesome opportunity to share with someone who is thinking about the return of Christ. Where might I be? How might it take place? And these are all the things that we talked about tonight that we can share with others. Now, bless now as we transition into a short business meeting. Father, may you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if we can go ahead and get started, can we get a motion to get started? Thank you, Brother Hunt. We'll get started. We get a second to get our thank you, Brother Leonard. All in favor, say amen. Amen. So we got a motion by Brother Hunt to get started tonight, but a second by Leonard. And tonight, as we mentioned before, we had a transition here some time ago with some folks departing. Draper stepped in to finish out a term with the treasury and has agreed to stay on as a treasurer. Brother Smith has relocated to another part of Arizona. We will see him once in a while. And Brother Mel Hottie's agreed to step in as clerk and has some time to work with Brother Smith before the rotation and has his equipment with him tonight and ready to go. And then also Brother Tony Patterson will continue to serve as a trustee as well. And so it's been a two-year term with many rotations and people rotating off and then other people rotating on. So I'd like to present these two men in these positions, Brother Tony, three men, Brother Patterson, and then also Brother Mel would serve two purposes, a church clerk as well as trustee, and then also Brother Draper, trustee, as well as treasurer of the church. And then so what would be the pleasure of the church? We take a motion to receive these men as church members. Brother Cherry, we'll get a second on that. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Any questions? Any questions in reference to these men? Yes, sir.
Is your treasurer and your bookkeeper the same?
No, we have outside bookkeeper. There's two separate. Brother Draper does a local treasury and accounting with our admin, and then Miss Sharon Naylor does the bookkeeping, and she lives there in Virginia. Okay, any other questions? Okay, all in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was that easy. Now we'll get a motion to dismiss. Brother Hunt, you ready to go? Get a second for dismiss. Thank you, Brother Patterson. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, as always, God loves you. This preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. If you did not get a copy last week of the ending year budget of how things ended, there's some on the table. I know a lot of the men got a copy of that at our Tuesday fellowship. They were out last week, but if you did not get one, they're still in the foyer for tonight, and we'll probably put them away after tonight. But if you didn't get one, just please ask. But they're on the table there by the missionary computer if you want to pick one. That was how the year ending in 2025 actually ended, had a good year, and so we're grateful for that. All right, well, God bless you. You're dismissed.